Lord Jesus. We start the Sabbath morning service. The topic I would like to share with each one of you is understand God's will. This is a very common topic. Usually, I don't know, you know, your life, but usually we ask about God's will when we encounter some problem, or when we come to a point where we need to make a crucial decision in our life. That is when, you know, we kneel down, we pray day after day, asking for God's will. Should I go to that school? Should I apply for that job? You know, when you come to that crucial point, that's when your life is focused on seeking and you wanted to understand God's will. The reason you wanted to understand God's will because you believe God's will is always the best. God's will surpasses my own will. He knows my 10 years down the road. He knows my life, and he has a master plan for my life. So it's very crucial to understand God's will at that point. But today, the perspective I wanted to share with you is that a servant in the house of God, how does one seek after God's will? And if you can recall your prior experience of seeking God's will, when you are that crossroad, you will recall sometimes you kneel down and you pray very hard, but when you get up from that prayer, you still don't understand which way God want me to turn. And that bothers you. Go, I did not hear God's will, and I do not understand, so I'm going to make a choice that I think that's how God wanted me to go. And then you went ahead. And many times it turns out good, and you are very happy. Go, oh, thank God. Okay. But now, let's turn the picture, the focus shifting to, what if a person need to serve God on a daily basis, and yet you don't know which way God wants you to turn? That would be a big problem. That would be a big problem. Because if that crucial moment in your life only happened every 10 years, it's okay, you know. It's okay. I can figure that out once at the interval of every 10 years. But now, as a servant of God, there are so many decisions that come to you, and you don't want to made the wrong decision or lead people to the wrong direction, and yet you cannot clearly understand God's will, then you have a big problem. You really are going to have a big problem. Today I want to share with you, as a servant of the Lord, how does one see God's will? Number one, that's the foundation. Before, you know, kneeling down and seeking God's will, before you pray your prayer, one need to understand that there is a general will that is recorded in the Bible. As the days go by, that general will become clear and clear and clear. And those are the principle and the foundation when it comes to seeking God's will. For example, I think if I ask some of you, what are the general wills recorded in the Bible, you could name so many. You could name that it is God's general will that he wanted everyone to be saved. Oh, that is a very important principle. So when you serve to serve in a church, you got to understand everyone to be saved. It's Jesus' purpose to come to this world not to condemn, but to save. Oh, another general will. And it is also recorded in the book of James that when you serve at the church, you should not have a partial heart. You can have a partial heart. Oh, that's getting a little bit harder and harder. Because when you come across different people in the church, you feel your heart swing to the right, to the left, to go, oh, impartial heart. How can I make my heart stand right in the middle? Oh, that is a task. But that is God's general will. You got to try it. And it is another general will that God said, you as a mere human being cannot judge. And that is recorded in book of Romans. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them, yet you do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? So that is all the general will. You need that foundation. That foundation need to be in your head first. Then you go, okay, I know the principle. But when it comes to applying principle, it is very hard. Another thing, besides all the general will in recording the Bible, you need to understand God's expectation. Well, I never knew God has an expectation, you know. We're clearly recorded in the Bible. Let's look at one character. According to the Bible, that character failed clearly to meet God's expectation. That is recorded in 1 Samuel. That is Prophet Eli. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with Prophet Eli's story. But toward the end of Prophet Eli's serving, not at the beginning, okay? Toward the end of Prophet Eli's serving, God sent a man of God. The Bible did not show the name, reveal the name, who is a man of God. But when the man of God came to Prophet Eli, he said something very interesting. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. That I'm just going to give you a quick recap of this message. That God rejected Eli's serving. He clearly rejected that. And then he said one thing that is very interesting. He said, 35, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. That's God's expectation. I remember 11 years ago when I start studying the Old Testament character by character in the old that are recorded in the Old Testament. At the end of each character, God random a verdict of that character. This man is faithful to the Lord, or this man is not faithful to the Lord. The verdict is usually very short, but God knows clearly. He sees through, although you could see that in a man's life, there are ups and downs, there are different situations, different circumstances, but that verdict is usually very short. He is found to be pleasing in the Lord or not. And God sees through your whole life. He knows what's in your heart, and that's the conclusion he came to. Now, I still remember 11 years ago when I came to Prophet Eli's life, when I come across the same verse that God rejected his serving, I remember that I feel very uncomfortable about that verdict, because I felt at that time that most of the Israelites already fell astray, you know, and their place of worship was moved to Silo, you know, and not many people come to Silo to worship in that temple of the Lord. Some of them chose to worship in the altar that they erected by themselves. That's not even, they don't even worship the one true God. But I felt the fact that Prophet Eli did not run away. He dedicated his entire life. I feel maybe God was not happy about, you know, his attitude or anything, but the fact that he stayed there, he served all his life, he offered incense, he lighted the candle, he opened the door, he sweeped the floor. You know, there are a lot of labor work involved. Why can God reject a person serving like this? I did not understand that 11 years ago. But today, when I became very actively serving at the church, I begin to understand this passage. That I found myself at church, we usually receive a title and duties. For example, I am the RE coordinator for this term, and I know the duty are very clear that I need to, you know, sign up, collect the SSC registration paper. We need to host a meeting, you know. There's a set of procedure. It's already there, and you just follow that procedure. You go from task 1 to task 30. And then recently I realized that when I do that one task from another, I become part of this template. Then I become a machine. And sometimes I will be so busy the whole week that I did not even have time to think about God's will. And that's when I feel very, very uncomfortable, because I feel the more I serve, the further I'm away from the Lord. And how could it be I'm serving in in the house of the Lord. How could that happen to God's servant? And that is when the story came to my mind. One day when I was thinking about that, that sometimes we become so comfortable in the system that you just come to church on Sabbath, you sing two hymns, you kneel down and pray, or you are assigned to a pianist, you know, you look at your task list, okay, today I play piano, and then I teach RE lesson, okay, my serving is done. No, your serving is not done at that point. Because then I realized that the focus is not right. As a servant of the Lord, you need to ask God's will in everything you do. I found myself, the only time I remember to seek after God's will is in my prayer. When I kneel down and pray, go, oh God, show me your will. You know, which direction should I take, you know, in terms of servitude. But when I got up from that prayer, when I start doing a minister all the task, I leave that thought behind. And that is not right. That I need to constantly asking that question. When you do not ask, God will not teach you. Then maybe three days later, you remember the same request. You go, there's no progress. God did not answer me. I'm still confused. The reason is because when I do the task, I did not incorporate that in the task by asking God's what God wanted me to do. Sometimes we receive inspiration when we read Bibles. And that inspiration is very beautiful. Because when we study about the Bible character, God, the Holy Spirit taught me this and the other, some precious lesson. And those lessons are very beautiful. But if you ask for God's will, for everything that you said when you are serving the church, not in your prayer, when you do everything, even about the direction, the focus, you know, that's when you're going to experience something very interesting. You're going to experience God's guidance when you are serving. And that inspiration is so beautiful. It surpasses the inspiration that you receive from reading the word. The reason is when God teach you side by side, when you are serving, God taught you with example of real people, not Bible characters. Not Bible characters. Real people who are alive, who are moving around you. Who are moving around you. When God revealed you, when God taught you what he wanted things to be done, I sometimes question, why this way? Why that way? And that lesson you will never forget. And I remember one precious lesson that God taught me. And till today, whenever I serve, I always remember that. I remember a while ago, there was a little bit dispute about the English service and the service at the main chapels, you know. And I was at the crossroad, you know, going, which side should I choose? I thought I can only choose one side. And according to my personality, I naturally thought the majority is always right. I look at the numbers, you know, and there are more people in the main chapel and less people in the English service. And I thought, you always should choose according to the majority, and that is right. But as I continue to ask God, I receive one inspiration, and that taught me a very beautiful lesson, that you need to stay at the side according to people's need. And I was going, oh, I see. That's how God look at things. Not by the number of people, but according to the people's need. As I continue to choose that side, and that I also apply that principle to all my serving. And it is through the application of that principle, I see the beauty of God himself, that his intention is so beautiful. His intention is so beautiful. But it is people who fail him all the time. According to Peter, because today you will feel that, oh, I'm not serving at church, so I don't need to worry about seeking God's will yet. You know, when it happened to me, I'll worry about it. According to Peter, it is recorded in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that each one of us are his priest in the New Testament time. That whether you have a title, a job assigned to you from church or not, it really doesn't matter. In the presence of God, in God's eye, you are a priest already. You have received a job from him. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You are God's special possession that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so this applies, this lesson applies to everyone. Most of us are second, third, fourth generation in TJC. As the years go by, you feel the knowledge of Bible increases. You know, it's got to be increased, because for every year past, you listen to at least 52 sermons if you come every Saturday, right? 52 sermons. That does not include the e-library that you listen on top of it. That does not include the RE classes you attend. That does not include the SSC and YTS you attended. So as every year go by, your knowledge got to be increased. Doesn't matter, okay? Now, think about it. As every year go by, your knowledge just increases. But you did not apply that knowledge at the right speed. So now your application side fell behind. Your knowledge continue to advance. Second year, your knowledge advances more. And your application, you know, slack off, you know, behind again. As the years go by, you'll find yourself a person filled of God's knowledge. And yet, you are extremely unhappy. Because every time you become so critical of the people around you, every time you look at the people around you, you feel very unsatisfied and unhappy. Because your large knowledge inside of your head becomes so clear and critical. So you can find little speck of fault from the people around you as your knowledge continue to expand. Very critical, you know. You have this magnified glasses looking for the people around you and become very happy. Go, huh, I thought this is a church of God. Why people are so imperfect, you know. The reason you feel this way is because you did not apply. You did not apply, so you cannot catch up. So now let's look at another example from the Bible, and I thought that is very, very interesting. And let's look at Romans chapter 14, chapter 1, verse 4. As a servant of the Lord, Paul encountered a very interesting problem. That is, in the church of Rome, this happened, that they are weak brother and strong brother. According to, you know, it's not a strong brother in God's eye or weak brother in God's eye, no. According to their dispute, that the strong brother cannot accept the weak brother's lifestyle, because in their time, the dispute is about some special diet they take and special days they observe. And the strong brother feel, oh, that is a weakness. How can you, you know, observe this kind of things when you are already become a Christian? And the weak brother feel that's part of their life. You know, they cannot come to that point yet. So as a servant of the Lord, when you come to church, you will see member around you with different stages of the faith. And Paul said something very interesting, that you need to accept one another. If I forward it down to verse 9, in the same chapter, verse 19 to 20, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God. In this case, for the sake of food, because the food is in dispute. But we could apply this principle to everything. That is so interesting. Paul said, yes, you are taking different opinion, different sides of the, that issue when it comes to Christian lifestyle. However, do not destroy the work of God. If you fail to understand God's expectation, that's one issue. You have a problem, yes. If you fail to understand God's will, yes, you have a different issue, okay? However, if you are there to destroy the work of God, you have a huge issue there. So when we learn about do's and don'ts, we need to look at the both sides. Do's tells you that, oh, you need to understand God's expectation, you need to understand God's general will. But the don'ts tell you, before you get to that point, don't destroy the work of God. Don't, okay? You will come to time that everything will become clear. But now, make a mental work. The reason is that because we are, every one of us is God's handiwork. Each one, not only me. Everyone from big, young and old, whether they're active or not active, the fact you might not happy with their Christian lifestyle, but the fact they are still in the church, they still come to the church, they are the handiwork of God. So do not destroy that work, that beautiful work. God have great plan for each one of us. So that is another interesting lesson that we could learn from Paul. Over the year, I learned that the process is very important. Although the outcome is equally important, but the focus should be placed on the process. If you do it right during the process, then that God will handle the outcome. So let's look at one example that I thought that is very interesting. And recently, I've been applying that to myself. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That is recorded between verse 8 and to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a very famous verse, a well-known verse that is been quoted many times. When Paul encounters some difficulty in his life, here that difficulty is described as a thorn, you know. And three times, Paul ask God to take it from me. But God said something. He did not answer whether he wanted to take it away or no. But he taught him a principle. And that principle, although we understand that principle, actually we don't know how to apply it. You understand, you knowledgeably understand that principle. But when it comes to applying that, this principle is very hard to apply. The principle God taught Apostle Paul is that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Okay, we all understand this principle. Now I want to share with you some application about how to apply this principle. That is, as a servant of God, in the process, we need to think about how can I arrange the event in such way that people could see the power of God. That is very, very hard. You can try it yourself next time. When you do something, anything you do, whether it's counseling job, whether it's event, whether it's teaching a lesson, whether it's cooking, you know, how can I do it in a way that people could see, that could magnify God's power? That is very hard. But if your focus is on that in the process of preparation, you will not worry about the outcome. And you will truly see how God magnifies himself in different way. And you will be surprised how creative God is. You will be very surprised. Because when you during the process of preparation for the holy work, if your focus is on the outcome, do you know something will disappear? There's one thing that will disappear. Do you know what will disappear from that picture? The people around you will disappear. Your co-worker disappear. I just want the result. Make sure you do this, these worksheet right, and you get timing, all the logistic, you know. But while you continue to focus on that, do you know something? All the people around you become invisible. I don't care if you are sick, you're not feeling well, you know. It's got to be done. It's very important. And that process preparation focus is off. I'm not saying that you should not pay attention to that detail. Yes, you do. But it's about a focus. That focus is very interesting. So as you continue to apply this principle, among many principles that I learned from the Bible, I found this principle the most difficult one to apply. Very difficult. And I want to share it with something. You're going to laugh at me. You know, when I first tried to apply this principle, I really don't know how. I really don't know how. And I was assigned to be a sermon speaker. I don't know how I could deliver a message in such a way that people could see God's power and I would become invisible. I thought about it, you know, that was many years ago. I go, okay, there's one thing I can do. I think my outfit is very important. If I could wear something that kind of blending with the background, at least that would reduce me. Okay, I'm not sure whether God will be magnified or not, but I'm going to focus on reduces me, okay? So I come up with this color scheme. The black on the top and the khaki on the bottom is always the best, you know, so that I can disappear and don't wear any jewelry. Today, when I look back at that, I sometimes laugh about it. But the reason I brought up this example is a lot of time when we are trying to apply a principle, we really have no clue. But do you know something? Focus on what you know how. If you think by doing this one little thing that will reduce yourself and magnify God's power, just go ahead and do it. And as you continue to do that, God will reveal more to you. Oh, it's not about the outfit, Caroline. It's about this and that, you know. Oh, then whatever you know at that point, that might sound silly to you, but it's okay. If you know that will help achieve that principle, go ahead, do it. Another thing is that God never asks you to guarantee the result. And I'm going to quote a very interesting principle. It's a well-known principle. Everyone knows about that parable. And that is recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 30 to 46, Matthew chapter 25, 32 to 46. Remember the parable that Jesus said at the end, you know, he's going to separate the goat from the sheep. Okay, two groups. The goat is the one who fell, and the sheep is the group that is going to make it. And he said, "For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I'm sick, and you look after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me." Okay, this is a well-known truth. We all understand. We all understand. But now, we don't know how to apply. We don't know how to apply. Meaning that if you read these verses carefully, he only asks you to do what you can. When this person is sick, you go visit him. He never asks you to heal him. He never asks you to heal him. When this person is in prison, you go visit him. He never asks you to release him from the prison. He only asks you to do what you can. But today, a lot of time when we serve, you know, in the ministry, we feel bad when the sick person is not healed. We feel a heavy burden on our back. But to heal that person is not your job. It's God's job. You just need to do the human's part. Then if you look at it this way, and that's how God intended, then your burden will be lightened 50%. God never asked you to heal this person. Oh, okay, then you feel better. God never asked him to, when he needed clothes, you have extra clothes, just give it to him. He never asked you to come up with a plan for his future life, you know. No, to manage his life. No. He needs clothes, you just give him clothes. Very simple. Something that you can do. You need to understand the difference between God's work and your work. And there is a clear boundary in that. God wanted you to love people, to care about the people around you. And he will do the rest. And that's when God's direction will become clear and clear, will become visible. It's not to ask you, flash me an answer. Bling, flash, an answer to me. God, guide me, show me your will, flash. No, as you continue to do your part in the right way, you will begin to see his direction become clear and clear and clear. And then you will go, oh, no wonder God did not flash me the answer. It is not because he failed to answer me. No, because that's not how you learn God's direction and God's will. And to conclude today's message, we learn a lot of principles. We learn about how to apply them when it comes to serving a church, whether large task, medium-sized task, or small task. But there's one thing. That picture should stick in your head, stay in your head when you are confused, when you are confused. And that is according to the Lord's Prayer. May His kingdom come and His will be fulfilled on earth as it is in heaven, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why this picture will help you when you are confused? Doesn't matter if you are confused about which way to turn. Does that help me be to fulfill His kingdom in this church? And that will answer a lot of questions. I hope through each one of your serving, from whether large or small, it really doesn't matter. Through each one of your serving, His kingdom. When you think about His kingdom, it's about peace, love, and all that. You know, it's not quarrel, it's not dispute, no conflicts, no. That through each one of us serving, that His kingdom will be fulfilled in this church. Through each one of us serving, His will be fulfilled in this church. And that should give us a very clear guidance. And may the Lord continue to guide each one of your work and continue to guide your life as well. Amen.